More vicious than a Mike Vick sanctioned dogfight, we are East Coast Biased. Hello everyone, today is July 20th, 2007, and we are back. After a week-long hiatus because of my vacation to Pennsylvania, the boys of ECB are back together again. On today's episode, myself and Jason begin some Barry Bonds talk. We then get into Mike Vick dogfighting allegations and what that means for his career. We then head across the pond to Britain to give you guys our take on the Open Championship. And finally, we dive into our first ECB mailbag. But first, let's lead off with baseball. Babe Ruth did it with beer and hot dogs. Hank Aaron did it with class and pride. And Barry Bonds apparently has done it with steroids. So what is your take, Jason, on Barry Bonds and his assault on Aaron's home run record?
I like that little intro with Aaron Ruth and Bonds.
Thank you.
But I think we've been trying to avoid talking about Bonds. Would you agree with me there, Brennan?
I would, and you know, it's kind of a story that we're getting sick of hearing
but
about.
But now that we're at, you know, he's at 753, we really can't avoid it as much, so we might as well get into it.
Right.
And the two home runs yesterday broke his 0-for-21 slump that he's been having after the All-Star break. And that's big. I don't know how fast he's going to get the next two and tie Aaron. But just to mention the schedule that's coming up for him.
Right.
Three games in Milwaukee, which if I'm Bruce Bochy and knowing his mindset, I'm sure he might play one game of that. And I'm sure he'll be rested the other two.
I would think so.
Three games at San Fran against Atlanta, and then three more at San Fran for Florida. So if you're Bonds and the Giants, those six games, you're hoping he hits two home runs, or three if you wanted to break it to him.
Right. Yeah, I think he'll end up playing tonight at Milwaukee's 8:05 game time. I think he will end up sitting the second game on Saturday only because it's a night game, then followed by a day game. So he'll probably be resting on Saturday. Probably, like you said, won't be playing on Sunday. And I think he will be playing the Atlanta and Florida series, all seven of those games, so that he is guaranteed a shot, at least, of getting the record while he's at home. Because following that schedule that you just said with Atlanta and Florida at home, they're at three at the Dodgers and then three at San Diego. He won't be back at AT&T Park until the 6th of August. So he better hope that he gets that record while he's at home, because I don't think his reception is going to be real warm if he does it anywhere else but AT&T Park.
You know, we'll bring that up, that question that you just raised, in a second. But back to the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The 7 against Atlanta, Florida, that's where Bonds wants to hit him. You know, Bonds wants to hit him at home. He wants to do this on,
of course,
home field. And to that question, how bad do you think the reaction will be if it's done on the road, the record?
Personally, I think that it's going to be a pretty cold reception. And I think that mainly because of his supposed connection, like I said, with steroids. He's not a real media-savvy guy, so he doesn't really help himself in that department. But, I mean, he doesn't care. And no way does he really care what other people think about him, but his public perception is so bad that they're just, fans won't even appreciate him breaking this record because of how much they really despise Barry Bonds.
A couple weeks ago, I think I would have agreed with you.
You don't?
But did you see how the Cubs kind of treated it, Cubs fans treated it yesterday? You know, they looked hyped about it, the home runs.
Yeah, they did.
The record breaking. But I think that's, look, I will go on record as one of the biggest Bonds haters. I think he's just a fraud. I think it's horrible for the game. I know he's one man, and he's not the only one who's ever done steroids. But
right.
He kind of epitomizes that.
Yeah, but he's the only one
with all that,
taking
with all that
steroids
said,
who's
though,
making, who's, who's about to break one of the most storied records in all sports. That's the big thing.
With that being said, I think that it being the biggest sports record in, you know, our country, in the lexicon of what we are as sports fans.
Right.
It's going to be that I'm happy that it's over, But it's going to be a moment that we are going to remember. Just like, even, you know, we're 20 years old, 20 and 21 years old, and we can picture the Hank Aaron off Al Downing in 74, I think it was. You know, we've seen that. It's been etched in our minds that even us young kids, we know what that moment was like. How many times we've seen it on SportsCenter and ESPN. So I think it's going to be a big moment, and hopefully...
The thing is that with him breaking the record, do you think maybe, and I thought this, maybe no one else did, and maybe it's just because like you, I am not a big Bonds fan at all. Do you think maybe they're cheering him because they want him to break the record, you know, away from home, so that, you know, people get a chance to boo him? I guess just me being pessimist, so. I was hoping that's what they're cheering for, because I would boo this guy unmercifully, because I don't think he did this the right way. And that's all I have to say about it.
I agree with you. I just think that it's you got to look at the record. And I know I'm kind of surprised the public opinion is not even more against him. I know it is, but it's just... if I'm on the road and this happens, I'm going to stand up, because 756 is such a huge number. Name a bigger sports record, you know?
I can, but, and this will be the final thing that I say about it. It's, like I said, he cheated, and I'm not going to, even though it's a huge accomplishment, I'm not going to stand up, I wouldn't stand up and say, congratulations, Barry Bonds, you broke the record. Clap, clap, clap. I would, you know, give him the finger, boo him, and leave.
Well, we're not sure when he will do this, but I'm sure this will not be the last we talk about Barry
Bonds. No, it probably won't be.
Changing gears a little bit, we will head to Mike Vick, who is making headlines of his own. He's back in the headlines again, this time for being indicted by the feds for his part in dogfighting. This came up about a month or so ago. Huge news.
Making headlines for all the wrong reasons.
All the wrong reasons, definitely. And Vic has had a troubled past, flipping the bird to fans, the water bottle incident.
The water bottle incident, yeah.
And his future with the Falcons, or even as an NFL player, is uncertain. It really is. So the biggest question looking forward is, can an old dog learn new tricks, Brendan?
I did. I like that little lead-in. Mike Vick, to me, should be done in the NFL. I guess should be done in the NFL if these charges against him prove to be true. And I don't think that there's any... I don't think there's any other action that Roger Goodell could take to justify him being charged with the, like, if he ends up being convicted of the charges that are against him, he should be out of the NFL. No questions asked. Automatic.
That's what the case will probably be.
As soon as that gavel comes down and says guilty, he should be done. Should be done. No questions. No question asked. Nothing.
I agree with you, because if you're Mike Vick, how do you repair your image after this?
Yeah. And it's not like it's just dogfighting. Some of the things that they were saying about injured dogs, like dropping them, even going as far as to shooting the dogs with a gun, it's like...
spraying water on them before they electrocute them. It's just vicious stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like just dogfighting and they get injured or something. And I'm not saying that any type of dogfighting should be allowed. All I'm saying is that on top of the dog fighting, the allegations that we just talked about, the electrocution and the shooting and just throwing the dog around, is just disgusting and despicable.
We really didn't talk about this before, this topic, but I think if you look at it, it kind of affects people on three different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Vic, obviously Falcons ownership, Arthur Blank,
right,
and then Goodell. Now, I'll start with my opinions on Vic. You said it. How do you repair this image, and you can't.
No, there's no way.
One of the things you have to remember about Michael Vick is he's a huge star in the NFL, not necessarily because what he's done on the field, but the spark and the flair that he brings to the NFL.
Right.
How many kids you see walking down the street have a Mike Vick jersey on? And I'll admit it, I have a Mike Vick jersey, so I'm in that crowd. Let's compare it to other guys in the NFL. Just his face alone. This is how recognizable he is.
Right.
I would say only Manning and Brady are more recognizable NFL players than Mike
Vick. You think
Vick.
He's even more recognizable than even Donovan McNabb?
I would say so. I think he has more of a national appeal. And maybe because of some of the negatives recently with McNabb, the TO, and the injuries. So, but this is obviously a big negative for Vic. But.
Right, and it's funny that you say that, because it's not as if the guy has been spectacular in his career. He's never had a quarterback rating above 80. And he's never even had a completion percentage, like, even in the ballpark of 60%. And I remember when he came out of college, everyone said Michael Vick was going to revolutionize the quarterback position, much like they thought Randall Cunningham was, and neither of them did. Donovan McNabb was going to be something similar to Vick, and look how he turned out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pocket passer. He's a pocket passer now, and that's what you need to do in order to win games. Because how many times has Mike Vick, in his 7-year career, taken the Atlanta Falcons to the playoffs?
If I had to guess, two or three times, I'll say.
Two or three times?
I remember the best success they had, they lost in the NFC Championship game to the Eagles.
To the Eagles, right. And it was just, I mean, for a guy who was that highly touted, and for him to do so little, it's just, I mean, Donovan McNabb accomplished more with less than Michael Vick has. Michael Vick has worked on Algie Crumpler, a whole bunch of guys.
And that's what I meant by saying he's a big star, bigger than really he deserves to be.
Oh, definitely.
And I hate to compare him to LeBron James, but this is the first guy I could think of. Look, LeBron's great, I'm not saying that, but he is such a media presence with Nike and every commercial you
right.
see.
Right, but we can safely say that LeBron actually, backs up.
Maybe he's not there yet, but he's. And that's kind of my comparison. It's more of the fact that Vic's a public figure and a quote-unquote endorsement star.
Right.
And it's going to be, and that's not going to be regained by him. You know, Nike dropped him yesterday, or at least held off on his shoe line.
Do you think they should have dropped him, though? Should they have said, you think they should have just gotten rid of him?
I know in this country you are innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
But even with the charges levied against you, if you're smart, you're dropping him. If you're Nike, you're dropping him.
I thought the same thing. I really thought that they were just going to say, Mike, nice to know you, shake his hand, and just, kick him out the door. But apparently Nike is a little bit more forgiving than I thought they would be.
I have two final points on this I want to bring up. I remember I said it affects three different levels, the Arthur Blank and the Falcons' ownership. A lot of the times these owners will cower, and legally he doesn't have maybe the leeway that he would like to what he would like to say about this. But I think he's taken a good stance. I'm not sure who brought up the fact of leave of absence. Leave of absence has been brought up this morning, breaking news on a couple sports stories I've seen.
Right.
That they're offering him, they could offer him leave of absence where he would be paid next year, but he'd be out for the year. And I'd like to mention that Blank, I think, has taken a good stance on this. And I wanted to ask you for the third one, Goodell. He's made his case with others, Tank, Pac-Man, and Chris Henry.
You're right.
What do you think his responsibility is? How do you think he plays?
His responsibility will be whatever comes down. I think that if Mike Vick is in fact proven innocent, then there's nothing that Goodell should do.
He's not going to be proven innocent, Brendan.
But I'm just saying, hypothetically, if he's, then he can't do anything, because it's not like Mike Vick. I mean, he did have the water bottle incident, and I mean, he did have the did show the finger to the fans, but he's not like a repeat offender. It's not like he's gone to the cop. He's been pulled over 10 times or, you know, made it rain at a strip club.
Yep.
Or had, you know, like Tank Johnson had enough guns in his house to arm a small militia. But, if, like he said, he probably, the feds, a lot of people, I'll say this one last thing, a lot of people said that these allegations, like even Chris Mortensen said on ESPN, that there wasn't enough evidence and nothing was going to come of this. So I thought it was a shock that the federal government indicted him. And the federal government probably has enough evidence where they're not fooling around. If they have done this, then there is, by and large, enough evidence to convict Vic and his co-conspirators of whatever horrible actions that they did at that house.
And that's why I'm taking it as, man, I don't think he can get out of this. You know what I mean? Because
right. It
is a federal grand jury.
In my personal opinion on the dog fighting jury, I mean, just being a dog owner myself, I hope Vic sees a lot of time behind bars if he, in fact, had any part in this whole dog fighting incident. And that's
well,
all.
If he gets,
go ahead.
If he gets any special treatment like Paris Hilton did, he'll be spending 2 weeks in this land.
Yeah. Yeah, white. What is Office Space? White collar prison, and he better not go to a white collar prison if he in fact did this. But let's get into, you know, get across the pond, as you like to say, Jason. We'll do the British Open, also known as the Open Championship over there in Old England. And the question I pose to you is, who do you take? Do you take Tiger Woods, or do you take the field?
El Tigre, every day, all day, every major. That's how I am. When you're as dominant as Tiger, I don't want to bet against him. And I think the smart money is always betting on Tiger. Now, yesterday, I would have been a little more confident in saying that because he was at 2 under. And today, he's shooting plus 2. He's at even.
Right.
But still, 6 strokes back is nothing. And at some point in his career, pretty much the only thing you can say about Tiger is that he's never come from behind to win a major.
Right.
0-29, I believe.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
Look, it's going to happen. He's going to come back and win one. It's only a matter of time.
Do you think that he will now? Behind 6 strokes? Okay.
Yeah, I'll take him. I mean, I have no faith in Sergio Garcia, so.
Okay. Well, Woods has won the last 2 Open Championships by a combined 7 strokes. And in his career, Woods has placed in the top 10 in 7 of the 13 British Opens he's played in. And including those 2 that he's won in the last 2 years, he also won another one. So he's won the British Open, a.k.a. the Open Championship, 3 times. Now, my answer to the question that I pose to you is not necessarily Tiger or the field. I think an American is going to win this, mostly based off what's happened in the last 12 years or since 1995. And since 1995, an American has won the British Open in every time except in 1999 when Paul Lawrie of Scotland won it, and then in 2002 when Ernie Els from South Africa won it. And, you know, take a guess when the last time an old Brit won the championship. Take a guess.
I'll say early 90s, Nick Faldo.
Very good. 1992, Nick Faldo won it with a 12-under par. And one last thing, Tiger Woods holds the record for the lowest 72-hole score in the British Open, which was a 19-under par, which also happens to be the record for all major championships. So,
I know you're not a huge golf. Sorry to just.
No, it's fine. It's no problem.
No, you're not a huge golf fan, and I'll be our resident golf.
Our resident golf expert.
Golf fan, yeah.
Okay.
Open or the Open Championships, always right. Fun to watch. And, you know, if you look at yesterday's scores, it's kind of funny because usually, if you think British Open, you think, you know, scores in the mid-70s.
Right.
Not 65 like Sergio shot yesterday. But it's always exciting. It's funny that this year they're playing back at Carnoustie where you mentioned 99 where Paul Lawrie won. That was the year where one of the most cataclysmic collapses in golf history happen with Gene Vandeveld. In he was on 18 last hole. He had a 3-stroke lead.
Right.
Just, you know, the analysts were saying you could putt the whole 18th hole and still get a 6.
Uh-huh.
And just made some horrible decisions. One of the most infamous shots I'll remember is his 3rd or 4th he put into the water. And the ball was just sitting up on the top of the water, and he was actually taking off his shoes and socks thinking about hitting this ball. That's how ridiculous he was. It would have been hilarious if he actually did. But he took a drop. But anyway, it was just
one of the best chokes of all time.
Exactly.
One of the biggest chokes of all time.
That and Bill Buckner are up there. So if we can if we're treated anything similar to that, it'll be a great Open Championship.
Yeah, I certainly will be tuning into it. And like I said, we're talking about Americans winning it. Jim Furyk right now is up there, -2, 4 strokes back of Sergio. So he's right in there. He finished today 1 under par. And also, Richard Beam is also there with a -3, so he's 3 strokes off the lead. He's on 9 right now, and he is today is shot 2 under par. Stewart Cink is also up there, but I think that Rich Beam and Jim Furyk are probably the most recognizable guys up there on the scoreboard right now with the closest shot of getting up there with Sergio Garcia, who sits at -6 right now.
We'll see if El Nino can hold this championship. He does have a 2-stroke lead right now.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see, and I'm sure on Monday we will have reaction to the winner.
Of course we will.
Just to change gears a little bit, we will take this time to debut a new segment on ECB, and that is the ECB Mailbag. This will be a weekly thing where we'll take a couple emails from you guys. Today we have 5.
People actually cared enough to email us. That makes me feel warm and fuzzy on the inside.
And you asked us the questions, and we will give you our hard-hitting answers. So, Brendan, would you like me to start? Would you like to start?
I'll take the first question, Jace. And the first question is from Josh in Reading, PA.
He asked,
will David Beckham make Americans care about soccer like Pelé did when he came to the States?
Brendan, you would think typically my answer would be no, right?
Right.
But I am going to be different, and I am going to say yes. He is going to revolutionize this game we call soccer that most people call football. And then, you know what? He's going to change it so much, we're going to start calling it football. That's how big Beckham's going to be in this country. And one more thing, Victoria Beckham, that's all I need to say.
That's true. She's a very good-looking individual. Although they both do have, of course, English accents, so that's kind of unattractive. But I caught a little bit of sarcasm when you're answering that question.
Oh, no sarcasm.
No sarcasm, okay. Well, I don't think David Beckham's going to change anything over here. I mean, if NASCAR is as big as it is over here, then I don't think soccer has any chance because I think soccer is leaps and bounds more exciting and just a lot more fun to watch than race cars, you know, going around in a circle, God knows how many times.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that it's not – David Beckham really isn't going to do much, although just the name alone is probably going to make MLS a little bit more popular, although it's certainly not going to make soccer any more popular anywhere else across the world because especially England probably, you know, hates us and is ready to start another revolutionary war over us stealing David Beckham from their TVs over there.
I'll take the Brits on again. Let's do it.
All right,
well,
Jace.
Good question, Josh. And let's go to the next one. And hopefully, maybe I'll have a more serious answer. But this one comes from Dave in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you for emailing us, Dave. But his question today is, what do you guys think will be Barry Bonds' reception if he breaks the home run record on the road? And we kind of got into this.
Yeah, we touched on this when we were talking about Barry Bonds, and I told you guys what I thought, and that's If he breaks the record on the road, he's going to get a cold, cold reception from everyone. And I think even baseball enthusiasts who love the game more than anything will be disgusted with this, just because of the fact that he is, you know, even in the same sentence as steroids. I just think the fact that he probably more or less cheated to break this storied home run record is, you know,
maybe
unfathomable.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as everybody thinks.
You don't think so?
Really, I really don't. And I think we'll both agree that we don't think it's going to happen in Milwaukee.
But no, it's not.
The next road one would be the Dodgers, and, you know, they're rivals. So maybe the reception wouldn't be that great there.
Well, the rivalry thing is nice, but the thing is that it's not much of a rivalry when, you know, the San Francisco Dodgers are how many games out of first place and are at least, they're 39-54. So they're 15 games under 500. So,
but like I said, I don't think it will be as bad as most people think, and that was a good question.
Yes. And again, just before we get to the next question, thanks again, guys, for emailing us. You can go ahead and do that anytime you want to. Our email is both of our emails are listed right at the top of the page when you visit our blog site. The next question posed to us is from Pat in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Pat.
He asks, "Will Yi?" I'm not gonna try to pronounce his last name. If you know basketball and know the NBA draft, then you'll know who we're talking about. Will Yi refuse to play? Yi has refused to play for the Milwaukee Bucks. So does that mean that we will not see him in the NBA this coming season?
I don't think so. I think he will play next year, but that's only contingent upon the Bucks trading him.
Right.
And when you start to think about that, you wonder what kind of value you'll get for a 2007 lottery pick. I heard the Kings, and the only player I guess you could think of, do you start thinking about guys who were drafted with him, like Spencer Halls? I mean,
yeah, that would make the most sense to me.
There's such value with these lottery guys. You know, teams hold them in such high regard that I wonder what kind of value they'd be trying to get back.
And the Bucks aren't trying to get, and the Bucks certainly are not trying to get older. They're trying to get younger. So you would have to be traded to someone who got something in the draft that the Milwaukee Bucks liked as well. I don't see them trying to trade for veterans unless it's like expiring contracts. But even then, you want to get something in return when you spend the sixth pick in the draft. You could say this though about Milwaukee. Why did they pick a guy who said even before the draft? I didn't agree with this, by the way. I don't agree that he should be making any demands considering he hasn't played an ounce of ball against real men yet.
You're right.
That,
I know what you're gonna say.
Right, and he shouldn't have demanded anything, but the Milwaukee Bucks were quite aware that he was not going to play for a team.
And they knew that.
Right. Right, and they said that the Yee's representative said there was no way he was going to be swayed about this. Either he goes to a big market with a large Chinese, you know, community, or he was not going to go there and play. And they knew that. So why would they pick him anyway? It didn't make any sense.
My last point on this will be, what will teams say who want Yee? Hear ye, hear ye. And that's enough for that.
Wow.
Daytona Beach, Florida. I tried.
Oh, man.
But anyway, this one comes from Don in Orlando. Hello, Don. Will Dante Culpepper start for an NFL team next year? And
no.
This is funny because we've had a serious debate on this Culpepper issue before, but go ahead.
Let's just one real quick right now. Trent Green is still the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. And who isn't anymore?
And how many wins will the Dolphins
get? Wait. I'm just asking because that's what we said.
Yeah,
who's going to be the starting quarterback?
Culpepper is not the starter anymore.
Thank you very much. Now that's no, that's fine. You answered my question. I thank you.
But when the Dolphins win 6, 7, 8 games next year, It's not going to matter.
Well, guess what? Guess what? Dante Culpepper would have had them win 2 or 3 or 4. So, it's apples and oranges.
But anyway, let's get back.
Dante Culpepper is not going to be starting for an NFL team next year. I don't even think if he went to the Jaguars, that was the team that the Dolphins were trying to trade him to, I don't even think they would have taken the guy. I mean, I don't even think they would have started the guy.
He's too talented. Some team's going to pick him up.
Dante Culpepper is washed up.
He deserves it because Miami screwed him over. Who gives the guy 1 year and he's not healthy?
He's washed
then
up.
Then when he comes back, then after 1 year he's healthy finally, and then you let him go?
What have you done for me lately? You know?
All right, let's change.
What has Dante Culpepper done for the Miami Dolphins lately? Nothing. He didn't increase their win total. He wasn't 100% when he started, and that was his own fault. No one else's.
Facing a career-ending injury that was one of the worst knee injuries I've ever seen, only second to the McGahee.
Right. So why didn't he take more time?
No, it was his fault. All right.
It was his fault for not taking more time in rehabilitation and nursing his knee. Dante Culpepper has no one else to blame for his downfall as an NFL quarterback more than himself.
Our next question comes from Dan in New York, and I'm glad I segue out of that one. Dan in New York, and this is a good one. It has been asked so much by everyone else, especially people in the sports media, but you guys at East Coast Bias really haven't addressed it.
Right.
The question he poses is, do the Yankees make the playoffs? And it is funny that we have haven't talked about the Yankees.
Yeah, we talked about them briefly in the beginning of the season, you know, when they were on that losing streak and the Boston Red Sox just looked like they were, like, going to take the AL East, no questions asked. But now, and I said this before, that New York wasn't going to make the playoffs at all, not even the wild card. I may end up having to eat my own words. The Boston Red Sox have been playing less than 500 ball in their last 45 games. Correct me if I'm wrong there. 21 and 24 in their last 45. The New York Yankees have been playing solid ball, and the Roger Clemens has done everything that I said he wasn't going to. Eat up innings and actually pitch well. And you can't argue with that lineup. Regardless of the fact whether they're hot or cold, that lineup is still frightening as all get up. Jorge Posada, Alex Rodriguez, Bobby Abreu, even Robinson Cano. I mean, Hideki Matsui, very talented. Derek Jeter, who I probably should have said first. Excellent lineup. And that pitching, especially Matsuzaka for the Boston Red Sox, is not very good right now. And who knows how long Curt Schilling is going to be on the bench with his injury. So the Boston Red Sox, like I said, starting pitching right now is not very good. So I may end up having to write you a very long apology letter, Jason.
As a diehard Yankees fan, I'm sure Dan is going to love to hear this. This is what's going to happen. I'll keep this nice and short.
Okay.
And all Yankees fans will be happy with this. Clemens in his next starts, he'll have like 10 starts the rest of the way. He'll be good, solid ERA. Pettit will be a proven two. He'll be consistent. Wang will be our three. There's our three playoff starters. No, we will not win the AL East, but we will win the wild card. And lastly, A-Rod will be season MVP and World Series MVP. Yes, you heard it.
All right,
I am a little crazy and off my meds, but the Yankees, all the way.
I'm gonna make you live up to that.
And I'm just
everything
joking,
else.
So
I was.
Don't take,
I
that was a joke. Okay?
No. I
no,
was
really. It was.
Okay. The entire thing was a joke. So the New York Yankees aren't gonna make the playoffs.
No, in a perfect world, that was my perfect
okay.
world. Okay.
All right. Well, lastly, I just wanted to mention, guys, that we did in fact visit 610 WIP Sports Radio in Philadelphia, one of the most well-known sports talk shows in the country, probably. And we had an excellent time. Angelo Cataldi, Al Morganti, and Hugh Douglas. Hugh Douglas was there, as well as comedian Joe Conklin. And we had a great time, got to see some strippers from Delilah's. And we now discovered that it is now the Tasty Cake Studios.
Yes, it is.
And if
just
you
just switched over.
Right. If you like Tasty Cakes, go ahead, email Angelo Cataldi, tell him you want to go visit, and you will have racks of Tasty Cakes right outside right outside of where they record and do the live show. Every Tasty Cake known to man. And when I got in there, it was like heaven's light shining right down on the Tasty Cakes. It was a spectacular sight to behold.
Well, you said it well, and we would like to, you know, thank them for their hospitality and,
of course,
you know, letting us in there. And it was a great experience.
A great experience, and we figured out that we definitely want to do that for a living. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So hopefully, in the future, instead of you guys listening to our podcast, you guys will be listening to a live radio show with yours truly, Brennan Canny, and Jason Mish.
That is our show today, Brennan.
That and it is.
I hope everyone had a good time listening to us. Remember to email us any questions, and like you just saw, they will be answered on our podcast, so make sure you send them in.
Of course, and we had a great time being back. Although I did get to see Jason while I was up there, it is nice to be back down in Florida, and it's nice to be doing the podcast for all you guys again. I want to give a shout out to my dad, Tissa, my grandmother, and my little brother, Danny, and I miss all those guys very much, and hopefully I'll see those guys sooner than later.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yes, thanks again for listening. This was East Coast Biased. I am Brennan Canny.
And I am Jason Mish.
And that was all for today, guys. We will see you on Monday.
Peace.